Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome to Wildcast Studios for an off-season part one episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solution, the premier destination for appliance and storage solutions in Moncton. Right now, they got the KitchenAid Suite. KitchenAid Spring into Savings event. Save $200 when you purchase any two qualifying KitchenAid freestanding appliances. Save $300 when you purchase any three, $400 when you purchase any four. As always, finishes. I am your host, Adam, and I am joined by your favorite co-hoster, Big Brother aficionado, March Madness bracket aficionado. I'm just going to assume March Madness picking or the Masters picking aficionado dressed beautifully in his Hawaiian shirt as we are in the off season.
That's right.
Your favorite co-hoster, Mr. Jeremy Boucher, how you feeling?
Well, you know, I said last week I didn't want to be here doing a season finale episode, but yeah. Here we are. And
not quite a season finale, but yeah.
Part one of six or seven.
Yeah.
But here we are. You know, yeah. You're in your golf shirt. I'm in a Hawaiian shirt. That's a good indicator that it is the off season.
Yeah.
And
it's also a good indicator of the weather change.
That's true. Like, yeah, I got your golf hat on. Yeah. I got my Jays hat on. There's, that's what life's going to be like for us for the next 2 months.
Pretty much, yeah. It's nice the Wildcats made sure to get eliminated before golf season started, although we didn't really want that to happen.
Exactly 2 months today until the draft.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
That is, too.
Oh, look at that. Holy shoot.
Look at that. Just kind of sneaks up on you. Speaking of obviously not sneaking up on you, WrestleMania weekend is behind us.
Yes.
I mean, your thoughts on WrestleMania?
Also, I mean, first of all, thank you, Adam, for allowing me to access your Sportsnet Plus account.
Yeah, almost didn't let you when I gave you the verification code, and then mine went, you've reached too many devices. I was like, nope, sorry, Jeremy, you're not watching it.
Yeah.
And then I just had to reboot it, and away we went.
There we go. Honestly, I was impressed. You know, I haven't really been following wrestling a lot recently. So, you know, WrestleMania is one of those can't miss events of the year, regardless if you're, you know, somewhat of a wrestling fan or a wrestling fanatic, you have to watch WrestleMania. I watched it, parts of it. Whereas I think I fell asleep at the same time Saturday night and Sunday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I missed the last two matches every night, so I missed the main event. But, of course, I'd watch it the following morning, and I'm caught up. I had no idea it was in Philadelphia. I was surprised because,
really?
I mean, usually it's in a warm climate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Potentially that was a request of the performers to be in a colder climate because it's very sweaty and hot and gross when they're performing. But it was a pretty good show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they kind of did that. It's been like 5 years now where they've done the two night WrestleManias. And I really enjoyed it. Like I get the WWE Network from basically January, the Royal Rumble, until then I watch the Elimination Chamber, and then I watch, obviously, WrestleMania, then I kind of get rid of the channel and just follow it week by week on Monday Night Raw. But it definitely was something, and like I said, it's been 5 years. I think the last one that they did, where it wasn't two nights, was in New York, where it was the women's match was the main event, so Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair.
I remember that one.
And it was Kofi Mania, so you had the peak of all the fans, and then there was another match, and then it was the women's WrestleMania that didn't even start till Monday morning. Like it started at, I think, 11:45 out here by the time they did the entrances and stuff, and it was like 6 hours of it, and it's too much. You know, I think they have to go, like, it's a lot of wrestling in a short period of time, plus the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to go the Hall of Fame on Thursday, SmackDown Friday, because usually the Hall of Fame comes after SmackDown. So that ends at like 10 or 11 o'clock or whatever, and then or 10 o'clock. And then they have to get the ring ready and get everybody in and blah, blah, blah. And then WrestleMania, obviously, on Saturday and Sunday. I personally don't mind the Saturday events because I, especially living out here, that finish at 12 o'clock at night. But, yeah, it was, we're in the Triple H era, and it was quite the event. Damian Priest cashed in, or as some are calling him, the Bye Undertaker. he finally cashed in after about a month of, or a year almost of not being able to cash the Money in the Bank, and it was Peter Labardius was there, eh?
I did see that.
With his son.
Yeah.
And it was a 2-year build. Let's see if I can get this tuned up. It'll work. I don't know if you people can hear that, but it's the Cody Rhodes theme.
Oh yes.
He finished the story in as a 90s kid and Attitude Era. It was Bloodline Rules, and it was I don't own any of this music. Yeah, I was trying to get to that part, but yeah, 90 or Bloodline Rules. So they kind of fought for about 30 minutes on their own. Mm-hmm. Excellent match. And then Jimmy Uso come out, Jey Uso come out, Solo come out, and then John Cena made his entrance.
John Cena.
And then The Rock, and then what I thought was going to be Stone Cold. It had been kind of teased Stone Cold, and a lot of people thought it was going to be him. It ended up being The Undertaker, and it was just, Layla stayed up for the whole thing. God bless her little soul. And she, I'm surprised she didn't film me because I geeked out. And I knew The Rock was going to be there. I knew Cena was going to be there. I didn't know The Undertaker was going to be there, but I knew these guys, and I still geeked out. I still screamed for Cody Rhodes. It just, it's a different breed. Like, wrestling fans are a different breed, and they live and breed this, and made my Monday that much better.
Well, now for me, it's a matter of getting, of sticking with it.
Yeah.
You know, I have to start watching Raw and getting to know, because, I mean, half of these people, I had no idea who they were. Yeah. You know, Damian Priest, I had heard the name a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea he had a briefcase. You know, like, I was just like,
Senior Money in the Bank.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised, but I was all like, oh, this is cool. And you saw, like, what's his face, or CM Punk beating down on
Drew McIntyre.
That's the one. Yeah. I was going to say Duncan McIntyre. I was like, no, he used to be a Wildcats defenseman.
Yeah. And that's how we tie this into the show.
Yeah. And then some music hit, and I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and I went on Twitter and I was like, whoa, okay, this guy's Damian Priest, apparently.
And I'm not even a Priest fan, but I was just pumped to see a live cash-in
at
WrestleMania, right?
Cash-ins are awesome. But, I, you know, like, that's it. I got to get back into it and figure out who some of these people are, because I can't.
It's tough to watch one event a year.
The one thing I hate about Raw is there's so many commercials.
Oh.
And it's a 3-hour show, and you can watch it in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it, it's going to Netflix January of 2025.
Okay.
So I hope it goes back to 2 hours, because I find myself watching SmackDown easier from 9 to 11 than trying to get through Raw from 9 to midnight on a Monday and then get up Tuesday and be ready to go. But, we're in a new era, and I'm pumped that Cody's able to be the champion, finish the story, and watch the press conferences, which always make me laugh. Press conference after a wrestling event where it's scripted and they know how it's going to go.
Yeah,
but Triple H said Roman will be back and his new story is going to kick ass. So maybe we see a Seth turn and we see the Shield with two of the members, but it should be excellent. So you will need to stay tuned. Congrats on getting two of the NCAA teams correct. Like, at the time of recording, we have no idea if you actually won with UConn.
Yeah.
But to get the two teams right is, I think that's the first time you've ever done that.
It's probably the only time I've ever done that. Yeah.
Now, you didn't complete the rest of the bracket to get there. Picked two.
I'd be a billionaire if that happened.
Oh, man.
But no, I was pretty impressed. I had a good feeling about Purdue. And UConn's just one of those teams you can't really count out.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't want to change my pick. I'm not going to change the pick, but I think it's going to be a pretty close game. I think it goes down to the wire.
Yeah, and by the time you hear this, congrats to UConn.
Yeah.
Or congrats to Purdue. You can fast forward which way you wanna which way you wanna listen to that. Big Brother Canada. How's Bailey? She's still there?
Bailey's still there. It has been quite a couple of weeks.
Might not be able to pick NCAA teams, but doing pretty good on picking Big Brothers.
I don't even know where to start. Vivek is gone, and I don't know how it happened. Was one of these things where they decided to do what's called an executive veto, where it's like this.
Is that new?
It was new. It was. I've actually stopped watching the show because I was so irate at how it turned on him.
Oh wow!
So it was this thing called executive veto. They brought all the house guests down to the big table in the living room, and one by one, I think it was her. I forget where Arissa Cox would say someone's name and be like, "Who do you not want to see win the executive veto?" And it was just like, okay, and you were naming people like in front of their faces, like looking up at the eye. I think it was, I think Spicy V ended up with the executive veto. I don't really know what happened, but there was an eviction right after that, a vote and eviction, where same thing, they were sitting around the table, looking at each other, writing, like it was like Survivor, where you write down on a piece of paper, and then it's shown who you voted to evict.
Right there?
Right there. And it was unanimous.
Like just you and me, and I write Jeremy, and I show it, and you see that I wrote you. Wow.
And it was unanimous to send Vivek home. I was just like, what the hell is this? It was complete horse crap, and I haven't watched an episode since.
If you rewind my life to the very first Big Brother down in the States, I watched all the way to the end, and then the two people, at, I think the semifinal or near the, like, to go into the final.
Mm-hmm.
The girl that I wanted to continue to go in was in a small town, and the guy was in a bigger city, and he was kind of a nerd. And his whole town, it was before he could only vote once, I think, just slammed the votes, and it wasn't fair into that. Yeah. And I was just like, done. And I haven't watched a minute of any Big Brother since.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I was so annoyed that that's how he went out.
Yeah.
And so I haven't watched an episode since. I'll have to catch up on it, but I'm not sitting down religiously trying to watch the episodes now.
Yeah, because, I mean, the fans will want to know you. And
I'll be updated within 2 weeks here.
Yeah. And it is, as I'm dressed in my golf with my brand new hat, got to always get new stuff as the golf season comes. The unofficial beginning of the golf season as the Masters is upon us in Augusta, Georgia, this Thursday to Sunday. So you did so good at NCAA picks.
Oh man, you're gonna be
Randomly picked. I've had some success with Big Brother Canada randomly picking. So I won't even make you pick one. Pick two. Pick two people that you think will be wearing the green jacket when the Masters is over.
I don't even watch golf.
Yeah.
So it's in a case like this, I'm just going to go with a name because I like the sound of the name. Will Zalatoris. Sounds Zalatoris. Like an STD, so I'm going to go with Zalatoris.
Yeah.
The doctor has diagnosed you with Zalatoris.
Yeah.
And
that's amazing.
Sep Straka.
Sep Straka. All right. Yeah.
So Zalatoris and Sep Straka, because they sound like STDs.
That's, I mean, if you're right, well done. I mean, it's tough to bet against Scottie Scheffler. He won last year, and he's been so dominant. But for fun, I'm not going to pick him because I feel like everybody will go him. I don't care who wins the Masters as long as a LIV golfer doesn't win the Masters. I don't think a LIV golfer should be in the Masters. You took the blood money. You shouldn't be in this tournament, but it is what it is with sponsors, but I'm going to go with Victor Hovland of Norway. He can play pretty well. And I'll throw my heart pick in there. At some point, he's got to get one. Rory McIlroy. I think at some point, he's finally going to figure this out. It's the only major he has left to win to complete the Grand Slam. So I'm going to go with those two. Corey Connors from Canada. Nick Taylor from Canada is also in it. And then my heart really would like on Sunday to see Ricky Fowler in all orange competing to win the green jacket as we finish up on the Masters. But yeah, we'll see how close we are in terms of... I swear to God, if you hit on those two names, if those are the 1-2 finishes at the Masters, I'm going to just start asking you sports questions of sports you don't watch and then give my money to Dorian as a booker and away we go. Because Jesus. All right. Don't forget, as always, you can follow us on the social media, Twitter, Monk to Wildcast, Instagram, Wildcast Podcast, TikTok, Wildcast Podcast. Don't forget, if you're listening to this, head to our YouTube. Click the like and subscribe button. In fact, smash it. I mean, I don't know how hard you can smash it, but click and like it and click the little bell. We've got some stuff coming up. Just because the Wildcats are done, we're not done. We got some shows coming up, including We Get You Set, like Jeremy said, for the draft. That's just under 2 months. Let's get to some news and notes from around the queue.
News and notes from around the queue.
I forgot that one's loud and I only got one ear that's working right now. So I don't know how much longer that ear's going to work. But yeah, so we had some nominations come out Monday night. The nominees for the Offensive Rookie of the Year, Raul Boyard of Baie-Comeau, Emil Guité of Chicoutimi, and our number one pick, the boy that we enjoy to watch, Mr. Caleb Denoyer of the Wildcats, are the nominees for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Two of those three names or two of those names that we picked. You took Denoyer. I took Emil Guité. Boyard is 17. I don't know how they lean on this because he did lead the points in rookies, but...
He's a year older.
Guité had more points, but Denoyer is a 16-year-old number one center with 20 goals. And if you look at the Wildcats' record without him, I think it was 2-7. I mean, they all make strong cases. I honestly don't think you can pick a wrong guy if we're looking at this objectively.
No, you really can't. I mean, we obviously want our guy to win, but yeah. I think all three guys are worthy of getting this award. And it's just one of those ones where it's never easy to pick. You always can assume the first overall pick will be there.
Three-way tie!
Yeah, give it to all of them.
Yeah.
I mean... Cut the trophy in three, like you would a birthday cake, and just hand them each a piece. And I can't.
I mean, there's been a few years where you can clearly you know who it is, whether it's MVP or Rookie of the Year or Defenseman of the Year, you know what it is. But there's no easy, and that's not including some of the other rookies that were really good this season. Like there's been a lot of good talent. I mean, I know Chicoutimi's got 18 of them on their team, but there's been a lot of good rookies.
Yeah, it's been a really good year for first years and second years and, you know, even like third years, like 18-year-olds are still considered rookies, like Sump, right? And he had a good year. And I'm not going to pick a winner. It's just way too difficult. And I mean, like I said, you hope it's your guy, but any one of those three is worthy, like I said. And
I mean, Maverick Lachance, Vinny Desharnais, Gendron, Xavier Veuillot, Alex Wang, LeCon, Belanger, I mean, they all had good rookie seasons.
Do you think Denoyer is a...
Seven players had over 20 goals as rookies this year.
Do you think Denoyer is a under-18 Team Canada participant as an underager?
I think he's got a good shot. Yeah. Now, is that the one that Gardner McDougal is coaching, or is he coaching the Hlinka?
No, he's got the Gardner's tournament.
Then I think he's got... a better than average chance of getting on there. I know they want to take the 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
And depending when they pick the team, how many players are left. But, I mean, man, if you have a chance, like, I don't think Gavin McKinnon's going to make that team. I think he's a little too young, even though he's had an unbelievable season in Medicine Hat. Oh. But if you can have both of those guys and let those guys kind of work together
in this tournament and on and into the World Juniors way in advance, that would be something. But I think he's got a heck of a shot, and I think the fact that Gardner McDougal is coaching gives him maybe a bit of a leg up if there's maybe three spots for 16-year-olds as opposed to having a coach from the Western or the old, or the Ontario Hockey League. So I think he's going to, I think he's got a heck of a shot. I hope he does make it. What about you?
I mean, I think you got to look at, you know, who's available. Cause of course it's only eliminated players, right?
Yeah. Wait, some can play for Germany in that?
No, cause he's not U18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you look at like Max and Celebrini, like BU season is over, is it not? No. No, great.
But it could be over.
They're still Frozen Four.
Yeah.
Right? He could technically play, but Medicine Hat are out.
Yeah.
So Caden Lindstrom's there for sure. Tri-City, Calgary, I don't really follow.
They're out.
Okay. So you got to look at Trevor Connolly, Carter Yakimchuk, London, I know, is still in. Spokane.
Out.
So Berkeley Catton's going to be there. Saginaw is still in. Kelowna's still in. Windsor's out. So Liam Greentree will be there. You got to look at these players, like where their rankings are, and just go down the list. Vancouver Giants, out. Yeah. So you're looking at the top 30 right now, and there's already a few players there that are eliminated. So I don't know. It's going to be tight. Barry's out, so you'll probably see Cole Beaudoin there. So it's, I don't know. I really don't know. If they're looking for maybe, you know, a 13th forward situation, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be close. I maybe the whole Gardner McDougal, New Brunswick connection maybe gets him a chance on the team, but
I think that might get him the 14th or the 13th forward.
Yeah.
And then he can just play his role onto there, right?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I really don't know. I can't. I think we'll probably find out in a few days because the tournament starts on the 24th, and you want to be able to get the players together for a little bit.
Where is it?
Finland.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you want to be able to get the players together for a little bit of a bonding thing first, and then head over. So I really don't know. It's going to be close, but you look at it. He's considered an underager for this tournament in April, but in August for the Hlinka, he's considered 17. So he's obviously going to be on the Hlinka team.
It's a lot of hockey.
Yeah. It's a strange cutoff because in April you're considered an underager for a U18 tournament, and then 4 months later you're considered, you know, a 17-year-old eligible for
the, I think selfishly, maybe you don't want him to go over to Finland and then come back and play in that tournament in August. That's a lot of hockey jammed in, and then training camp. Like, yes, the development. Yes, we want him to play everywhere. But, you know, selfishly for the team, you also don't want him worn out by the time he gets to training camp, right?
You want him to represent your country, but you also don't want him worn out.
Yeah. Or worse. So the CHL import draft, July 3rd, the Wildcats will have the 37th pick as well as the 97th pick if they choose to use one or both of those. But the big news coming out of that is the Russian and Belarusian players are eligible for the 2024 CHL import draft, and they can play in the CHL as long as they're granted the necessary visa they require to enter and play hockey in North America. Perfect. I don't see any problems with this. You know, the Q seems to slightly have a problem with players finding loopholes to go in the OHL and the USHL. So if you can give these Russian and Belarusians a chance to get in your league, and they're, say what you will, they're dynamic hockey players. I think this is a win for the Q in general if the Wildcats or any team want to go that route. Now, there still might be distractions just based on, you know, what's going on over there still, and seems to be kind of divided when that news broke. But I think if a team wants to pick one, I think they're most eligible to come in, and I'm glad they are.
No, for sure. It's been a long time, Coven, and you know, we're not going to make this political or anything like that.
No.
But at the end of the day, I think this is really good because there's a good crop of players. You know, there's players that wanted to play in the Canadian Hockey League from Russia and from Belarus, and they're just denied that ability.
Yep.
So they went to the USHL, and they're letting it up there and committing to NCAA schools. You know, so it's there was a bit of a miss here. I don't think any of the top guys from Russia are going to be playing in the CHL next year, but there's just so much. There's a lot of talent out there that you can get, and it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, which team will be able to get that big name Russian to come over, or one of those USHL guys to drop their NCAA commitment and come play in Canada. You know, Artyom Levsunov is, you know, that defenseman from Belarus is playing for Green Bay in the USHL. He's probably going to be a top five pick in the NHL draft. You know, I think he committed to Michigan State, and is he going to drop that commitment to come play 1 year in the CHL? Probably not, but he would have been in the CHL 2 years ago if this wasn't, you know, the case. So it's good to finally see it lifted, and hopefully we can, you know, Russians love to score goals, and I love seeing the celebrations. Russians, I love celebrations, and that's part of the game that I miss is, you know, the Euro, the import sellies are next level.
100%. And the Wildcats have had some success in the past couple of years with Barbashev and, well, both Barbashevs and Havanov and Cape Breton with Sokolov. And so if you can get those high impact ones, they can make a difference. And like you said, I don't think it'll be a Moncton thing right away, but eventually it could be something that they look at. So these news items are coming from Kevin Barrett, MBE, on Twitter. A few changes imminent to the Q draft, as the league will be looking to drop from 12, drop to 12 from the 14-round format, not this year, probably in 2025. And another change that they're discussing is instead of having the U.S. draft, which is a two-round affair that when was the last time a player played there? If teams want, they can draft U.S. players in the regular draft or ink anyone not selected in a free agent. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that because whatever. But the draft from 14 to 12, that's interesting to me. I'd like to find the reason why, and maybe when Cicchini's here as part of the press conference, we can ask him. But, I mean, without that, we might not have Keegan Warren right now because he could have been a free agent to go anywhere. So, I mean, that's kind of where the scouts find their bread and butter. Yes, it's not often that the 13th and 14th rounds hit, but when they do, that's found money.
Mm-hmm. 14 rounds. I mean, if there's any benefit, we're not going to be sitting in the Avenir Center for so long.
Well, it won't be this year.
Well, good.
It'll be next year.
We're still dealing with 14 rounds.
Yeah, 14 rounds this year.
Oh, tremendous. Is there still an American draft this
year? Hey, but tune into our coverage of the draft.
That's so pointless. The American draft is so pointless.
Yeah, it says another change in the discussion phase is the elimination of the QMJHL U.S. draft. It doesn't say if it's this year or next year, but I mean, if they're discussing removing it, I would imagine they'll just remove it.
It's just so dumb. It's seriously so pointless.
Yeah.
There's been no Americans drafted in the U.S. draft play in the queue. So just drop it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make sense. It's not working. If you have a player that's interested, just use one of your picks on them.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
100%. I support it.
100%. Before we get into our second round playoff picks, the last set of news there that Kevin had is a decent amount of QMJHL talk. The playoff format right now features the two conference 1v8 formats. Some are talking about reverting back to the 1-16, while other chatter is talking about reseeding in the 1-8 setup after the first round. Nothing appears 24-25, so you're probably looking 25-26 season, but either go back to the 1-8 or leave it where it is. What's the point of reseeding in the second round? you might as well just go to the 1 versus 16 format, which Moncton might still be playing because we'd be set up against Blainville. Maybe. I mean, the way they were playing, probably aren't going to beat anybody. But, I mean, your matchups there, you Baie-Comeau, St. John, Drummondville, Charlottetown, those are going to be the same. Running around to Gatineau, probably the same. Halifax, Shawinigan, probably benefits Halifax a little bit more there. Victoriaville, Bathurst. Like I said, Moncton, Blainville, Cape Breton, Sherbrooke, and Rimouski, Chicoutimi. So, I mean, you're going to have your nine upset with Chicoutimi. The way that the playoffs are going right now, I don't know. You've had both. What did you prefer? The 1-16 or the 1 versus 8? I like the 1 versus 8 until it gets to the fourth round because I like having a Western Conference final and an Eastern Conference final. You're likely going to have that this year the way that the teams stood up. Mm-hmm. You'll have Baie-Comeau against either Cape Breton or Chicoutimi, and you'll have Drummondville versus Warren, which is your East-West final. I think they should just, if you're going to go conference to the end.
I didn't like the 1 versus 16. I mean, the last thing you want to do is have a Cape Breton versus Rouyn Noranda first round. I mean,
that too.
The travel.
Yeah.
I mean, it has nothing against, you know, some of the WHL trips, but I mean, I don't think you want to be on the road for, or on the bus for, you know, over 24 hours. That's probably the last thing. So
just to play two hockey games and spin back and do it again.
That's it. I like the conference. And once you get to the Final Four, you can reseed and go at it. I think it's the way it is right now. It's great. The only negative to the way it is right now, you've got a run around to Victoriaville second round.
Yeah.
You know, there's always two teams, or at least one team that loaded up that's going to be out in round two. And that's probably the only downfall to it.
Because if they reseeded after the round one the way we have it right now, you'd have Baie-Comeau taking on the Sherbrooke Blainville winner, Drummondville Chicoutimi, Rouyn Noranda Cape Breton, and Victoriaville Cape Breton. Sorry, Rouyn Noranda Chicoutimi. Oh, Drummondville against Sherbrooke or Blainville and Bathurst against Baie-Comeau. So it almost kind of works out the same, but just leave it as is. Just it's working fine.
Yeah.
I might be the only one in the minority that wants the Eastern Western Conference Finals because I've grown up with an Eastern and a Western Conference Final when you get into a final. So instead of just going like Eastern round one, East Western round one, and then all of a sudden semifinal. Yeah. To me, I don't like it, but all right, let's do some picks here, sir. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season on our way back from Cape Breton that Bathurst and Cape Breton would be moving on to round two while we're in golf shirts, I wouldn't have, not sure I would have believed you, to be honest with you.
Nope.
So obviously there's one series that is not complete at the time of recording. That is Phoenix and the Armada. We can pretty much, they're going to take on the Volts. It's decided. Mm-hmm. We can go on that one. We'll wait for that one until the end. We'll start in the Eastern Conference. Baie-Comeau versus the upset Bathurst Titan. 1 versus 7 matchup. Both teams swept.
First round?
Yeah.
Shockingly. Well, one was shockingly.
Yeah, one was shockingly. Like I said, I picked Bathurst in my upset 3 weeks ago. I picked him in this one in 7. Nobody saw 4 in a row coming.
Nope. No.
And if you did, you're a liar. we want receipts. I at least put out the receipts that I picked Bathurst, but what do you got there, bro?
Well, Halifax couldn't contain them.
Yeah.
Will Baie-Comeau be able to? And that's the top line. You know, Bathurst will not win this series if Milo Rollins is kept off the score sheet.
Yeah.
But I think in that Halifax series, the loss of Jake Furlong was absolutely massive, and their top line took advantage of that. And I don't think that's going to happen in this series. Emil Strinard remarkably was playing in that series.
Yeah.
I did not see that. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Nope.
So that's going to be a huge boost to Baie-Comeau. And I think... I do think Bathurst might be able to win a game or two in this series. I'll be generous and say they're going to win 2. So I'll say Bakehomo in six.
Yeah. Keller, four games, a 1.47 goals against average. Gravel, a 1.5 for Bakehomo. I mean, if Keller can continue to play God mode, as he did in that first round series, and look, Bathurst also won two games in overtime. If that thing flips, it's a completely different series. Not to take anything away from Bathurst, because once they got home, they shut that thing down. Man, I really want to jump on the Bathurst bandwagon, but you got to go with your head sometimes. What did you go? Six?
Six, yeah. Bakehomo at six.
I just think as much as... even if that one line is playing well, I just think the depth for Bakehomo takes over. Yeah. And I think they beat him in five. I think Bakehomo takes it in five. So Jeremy in six. Oh, before we go any farther, our picks from round one. 1 point for picking the right team. 1 point for the extra pick in the amount of games,
right?
Oh,
lovely. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
You are in the lead 9-8. Yes. You can take a 2-point lead if Sherbrooke wins tonight because you had him in six.
Yeah.
And I will take a 1-point lead, 10-9, if the Armada win in seven because I took the Armada in seven. We were both correct on Drummondville in four. You had the Huskies in five. I had them in four. Both took Victoriaville in five. Both took, or you took Bakehomo in five. I took them in six. you took the Mooseheads in six. I took Bathurst. I took the Wildcats in six or seven. You took Sags in six, and we both took Cape Breton in five. So you are leading by 1 point. So that may factor into some of these so I can get tied. But, yeah, no, I think it'll be Bathurst in – or Bakehomo in five. All right, so the Eagles and Chicoutimi, the series that we wanted in round one because we'd still be playing against Rimouski, I think, because we couldn't really beat anybody. But this is the series that I'm most excited to watch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't so far – I may go up, but that five-hour trip is a bit out of the way. But I don't know where to go. I mean, Cape Breton looked pretty dominant in four of their five wins. Mm-hmm. Chicoutimi rolled right over us. They're both young teams. I know Chicoutimi is a younger actual numbers team. The Eagles are... young in playoff experience. I think it'll be a lot of the same that we talked about with Bathurst and Halifax in round one. If you can keep Chicoutimi's power play off the ice, because right now they're at a 35% clip. And again, the big ice is a factor. But I think Cape Breton has more guys playing well right now. I'm going to go Cape Breton, and I'm going to go in six.
Okay.
I mean, that building is going to be rocking Friday night. They've already sold the lower bowl. They're getting into selling the upper bowl or the upper side, I guess, a little bit. I think Cape Breton in six. It'll be, again, another goaltending duo. Like, Delafontaine's coming back. Now, they didn't trade him out because they didn't want him. He wanted to be closer to home.
Yeah.
But him and Ruccio were drafted back to back. They were going to be the goalies of the future in Cape Breton. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Eagles in six.
Yeah. At this point, I don't know how I can bet against Chicoutimi.
Yeah.
You know, I saw so many good things from them in the first round. And some were just, I mean, I was in awe at how they play. You know, they play playoff hockey, where they don't care how long they're sitting in that ice bath after a game to heal the bruises and the wounds, they're willing to do it. So you know what? I will take I don't know, our buddy Drew Bear. You're not gonna like this one, buddy. but I do think this one goes the distance.
Oh, okay.
I think I will take Chicoutimi in seven for this one.
Yeah, he reached out to me the night after we got eliminated or whatever, and he's like, "So you going for us now?" No, man, I'm not going to watch a minute of hockey. Like, I could care
less. I
like
small market. I know Cape Breton's a small market.
Like, team. I said, I'm glad that you guys are, like, I hope you have success of a playoff run, but I'm not actively going to watch and cheer for you and put on my Eagles hat and stuff. But if there is a team that needs a playoff run, it is Cape Breton. So you got the 2-3 Huskies versus the Tigra in the Western Conference, and this is just... You want to flip a coin or like, I think this is my series. It goes the distance.
Yeah. It's tough.
I just don't know which team I've got going the distance.
I think Ruin Aranda just with the, I think Ruin Aranda is the deeper team. I really do. And I think if Tristan Luneau was actually part of Victoriaville, I'd probably be taking these guys. But no, I will take Ruin Aranda in 7 games.
And I'm going to go, as much as you talk about the team that plays playoff hockey, Victoriaville knows what it takes to get to the top. Darvaux is just, I mean, so is Rousseau. They're on 2 levels right now. But I mean, Joseph Henneberry hasn't even got going for Victoriaville yet.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a guy that if he can kind of get going, he can turn a series around with their depth. I think both these teams are built well. So yeah, I think I'm just going to go the other way. I think I'm going to go Victoriaville in 7. I think they got to the mountaintop, spun it around real quick last year, kind of upset by Drummondville that really no one saw coming. And they tweaked some things, got a little bit more depth for a long playoff run. So I think they are the team that upsets the Jeremy Boucher pick in the Ruin Aranda Huskies.
Nice.
And then
the
you got
Huskies
the
that were supposed to face the Moncton Wildcats in the QMJHL final.
Yeah. I mean, my teams are still available, but yeah. I don't feel good about it. And then you got Drummondville against either Sherbrooke or Blainville.
I mean, this one's pretty easy. I think it's probably the shortest series of all of them.
Yeah.
Drummondville's rested. You're going to face a tired team.
Yeah, because they go Tuesday and then Friday, I think.
Yeah, so I'll get Drummondville in 5.
Doesn't matter the opponent?
Doesn't matter the opponent.
All right. Yeah. I was like, can, you know what? No, it's going to be a sweep. Doesn't matter the opponent, whether it's Phoenix or the Armada. The Armada remind me a lot of us in 2018, I guess it would have been. If they get past Sherbrooke, a team that was down in game 6, won game 7, went up against the juggernaut in the Armada back then and just ran out of gas and were out in 4. So, and then Drummondville, they're on a mission. They're my team to go to the finals. So, yeah, I've got them in 4.
Nice.
And you got them in 5. And I got them in 4. All right. So, yeah. So we've got that would set up Baie-Comeau. For me, that would set up Baie-Comeau against the Eagles. You got Baie-Comeau against Chicoutimi, and then you've got Drummondville, Ruin Aranda, and I've got Drummondville, Victoriaville.
Nice.
You cannot pick a better third round out of those teams. Like, that is a good third round.
Yeah, that's a hockey you want to sit back and watch every night.
Yeah.
You know, that's 4 teams that are worthy of a championship.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of... Hope the best team wins.
Yeah, get us that 5th Memorial Cup. All right, so going from a third round of 4 real good hockey teams, let's get into the Weekly Rewind.
Weekly Rewind.
This is not what I want to talk about right now.
No, I forgot to turn that down again. Oh my God, my ear. Well, there's always next year. That is the theme of... The playoffs, they go 0-2. They are swept in 4 for the first round. In the first round of the playoffs as the higher seed for the first time since 1999, courtesy that stat of Dave McKnight, whose Twitter handle at McKnight_David on Twitter, if you want to follow along in the CHL with some good stats and insight, as I think he watches pretty much all the games.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow in the OHL, the CHL, that's the Twitter account you want to use. Well, Tuesday, Wednesday was the positive. Thanks to everyone that came out to the Five Bridges for our Game 3 viewing party. 25 people there to start, and I know it was an 8:30 game on a Tuesday night. It's not easy, so I appreciate everyone that came out to support us. The team couldn't hold the lead. You can't win in the playoffs. The Wildcats held the lead in both games, 2-1 into the third period in Game 3, and in the second period they were up 2-1 as well in Game 4, and they ultimately couldn't find the next one, and that's why we've already had the fan farewell.
Yep.
They lost Game 3, 4-2, and 5-2, and they had, on Game 3, they had many chances. Mercy on a breakaway, just put it over the net. A couple chances, and Delafontaine was getting to everything, and that's kind of how this was. They couldn't find the next one to increase to a 3-1 lead or a 3-0 lead to kind of put doubt in Chicoutimi's mind, and that's why we're in golf shirts.
No, you're right. You know, you look at Game 3, it's you have to assume that, you know, as much as Game 3 was a must win, sorry, as much as Game 4 was a must win, mm-hmm. Game 3 was also a must win. Mm-hmm. You know, you in Game 3, you can't be outshot. It's absolutely unacceptable to be outshot in a game that you absolutely have to win. And you know, they were, there was no sense of urgency whatsoever. You know, they didn't, they waited until the third period of Game 4 to start pumping the shots on net.
Mm-hmm.
19 shots, I think they got in the third period of Game 4, something like that. Where the hell was that every other period?
Six in period 3 and Game 3.
Well, that's
in
it.
Third period.
Right? Where the hell was it? Were those 19 shots in the third period of Game 3? Where are those 19 shots in period 3 of Game 2?
Yeah.
It's just they waited too long to play their best hockey. And I shouldn't even say best hockey. It wasn't, you know, there was... we have to fit this show into an hour, so it's... They waited too long to play... to decide to pepper the net.
Yeah.
And that's, like I said, that's like you said, that's why we're in golf shirts. There was no, you know, the offense was virtually invisible.
Huh.
All playoffs. You know, your leading goal scorer in the regular season needs to have more than one goal in the playoffs. And he waited until Game 4.
Yeah.
To light the lamp. And I told you to remind me about this one.
Yep.
And I didn't need to be reminded, but, you know, you look across the league and Johan Löfsten had one goal in four playoff games, and, you know, Mathis Kluche has three goals already these playoffs.
Yeah.
It's your top performance, the guys you expected to step up in the playoffs didn't step up. And that's what you got to play. It's a different season. We got to play your best hockey at the most important time, and there was no hockey being played at all. You know, cowboy hats were a bad idea.
They're the fifth highest scoring team in the regular season.
Yeah,
274 goals.
Yeah,
and they couldn't find the net. And yes, Delafontaine played really well, and yes, Chicoutimi blocked a ton of shots.
Yeah.
But the other factor in this series is one that we talked about from the word go. It is really cool to have the number one power play in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Buoyed by being able to do what you want in the first half. When teams started to make the adjustment, and I should have taken some time to break this down to see what our power play was in the final month, because it wasn't great. We clamored for new players, new looks, new anything, and nothing changed. And the final four games, Chicoutimi's power play was 35%. Moncton's was 7. One goal, I think, in 14 opportunities in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, and that's what, you know, when in a playoff series where you need something to go your way, you need momentum, you need this. They couldn't find the next one. I mean, they went 0-for-5 in game one.
Yeah.
A chance to absolutely steal it, and I believe that was the game where they jumped out with 19 shots. They were all over them. They controlled a ton of the play, and Shakutami was 6-for-17 on the power play. Moncton was 1-for-14.
Yep.
And I feel like if you add that in the final month of the season, they might have been like 8-for-30. Like it just it
8-for-30 is actually good.
Yeah. Okay, then like 6-for-40. I don't know my
six
math.
Six for 80.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, it. Yeah, the power play was.
And then the penalty killing, Shakutami was 92%, obviously, and Moncton was 64, and that was the difference. When Moncton took a penalty, Shakutami, and I tweeted it, it's amazing what puck movement does. Yeah. And go back and watch, I mean, I would advise not to do this, but if you go back and look at the power play between Shakutami and Moncton, Shakutami's moving all over the ice mm-hmm. at all times. And I said this about a month ago, you look at the Oilers and the Avs, when their power plays are going, they're moving all over the ice.
Yep.
And that was the difference. They couldn't find a special teams goal to, I mean, they had some big kills in game two in the 5 minute, but other than that, they couldn't really get a kill when they needed one.
It was just a tale of two, you know, it was the tale of the same, like it was Shakutami, one of the hottest teams in, you know, the final 20 games of our season. Well, you know, that 16-4 in their final 20 is now 20-4
yeah.
in their last 24.
Yeah.
Like they are on a roll right now. And,
and what's Gabe Breton, like 27-2?
Yeah. Like these teams are.
That was with Curly.
Yeah.
They're like 13-2 or something like that. Like
It's crazy because you literally went into this series against the hottest team
yeah.
coming down the stretch. And that's the reason why I picked them. You know, it's momentum. This team was, the Wildcats were so flat. Like they were flat going into the playoffs. And the tendencies were there. I mean, they were there in the second half and there was no changes to fix them. And I don't think we have to say, you know, it's the same stuff we say over the week. There was no bad tendencies, bad decision-making.
Yeah.
There was no adjustments. There was god-awful goalie pulls at terrible times.
Talking about playoffs or all season?
Well, mostly second half. Yeah. And
in back-to-back playoffs, years?
There was to have 2 years in a row where you have an epic collapse in the second half is unnecessary. You know, it's unacceptable and there's no reason for it to happen.
And there's no reason we're not talking about a press release. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what they're waiting for. And that's like, I can't remember who tweeted it, but when your ownership doesn't do what they need to do last off season, it's tough to go with commit to win.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You also, I've been pretty good with the marketing of this team, but you got issues coming into this season. Both games in Shakutami had more fans than Moncton. Now, they're 16-4. They're on a run. I get it, but you got to do something because 35 and 3,200 on a Friday, Saturday night, on a holiday weekend, that ain't it. That's not the reason the team lost. That's just something on top of the 10-10 flat into the playoffs. Like it's got to be a re-switch on everything from the top down. I don't like ticket-wise deals, season ticket holders. I don't know why you're not advertising your season tickets right now. Like, what is the holdup? Why wait till June?
Because
there's
season ticket holders waiting
for the press release, probably.
Yeah, like there's, but season ticket holders who have been season ticket holders for 20 plus years, that are telling me that they're not renewing their season tickets if there's not a change made behind the bench.
Yeah,
you know,
I've heard that too.
It's you can care all you want about fans, and all you want. you know, you're as much as it's a business, you've got to listen to what your supporters say. You know, there's people that are willing to not come see this team play anymore. I would almost say myself included, but I have an obligation.
Thanks.
As co-host of this show, to still
now
watch.
Look, if he's back behind the bench next year, I don't know if we're doing this again.
You know,
letting you know.
Well, that's it. Like, we have an obligation to cover this team because who else does?
Yeah.
And at this point, like, I'm not going to be excited. As much as I know we're going to have a much better team next year, I'm not going to be excited to go watch the team if we're stuck with the same garbage.
Yeah.
You know? I jokingly said this to you and to others on Monday, where it would have been perfect if something was put out during the eclipse. Because, you know, it would say, you have been a darkness upon this organization.
Yeah.
And it would have been it would have had to be a quick release, because, you know, the eclipse only lasted 30 seconds.
Yeah,
you know, that's what myself and the eclipse have in common. We only last 30 seconds. And it's always there's a quick release, right? So, if you want to tie in the eclipse and Dan Lacroix all in this.
That's how that's going to work.
You know, it's a quick release and it's done in 30 seconds. Well, that's just how I feel. You know, am I going to watch this team next year? Of course I'm going to watch this team next season. Will I be excited to do a podcast? Yes, I'll be excited to do a podcast. But it's going to depend. It's going to depend on who's behind the bench. 100%, you know, 100%. At this point, I'm just waiting. And that's all I'm doing. We know there's been meetings.
Look, the Huskies are all you have to look at. They're the number two team in the Western Conference. They're having a tough time. I think they were like 3-7 after the deadline.
Yep.
She gone. And they're 8-1, and I think they're like 12-3 since then. Like, there's a precedent for it. And it's just, we're supposed to have a better team.
Yeah.
Like, they're setting up to kick the door into Rimouski. I don't care. You give us Ren's team. You put this coach behind that bench, they're in trouble.
Yep.
Like, it was the same thing over and over. The power play never changed. The adjustments never changed. The lineups rarely changed. And if they did, you weren't sure why they were changing. You look at it and we're going to still do this because I love to do it. Mm-hmm. I love having you over here week after week to do it, but it will be tougher. And I don't think we're going to have this issue. Look, we each have names of coaches we would like.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get into it because we're waiting. And it was my biggest struggle coming into the playoffs is if this team goes on a run, he saves his job for next year.
Mm-hmm.
If they got to the third round or they got to the finals, like you said, and I'm like, but if we go out early, and I think if we go out early and the way we went out, I don't understand what they're waiting for. If they're waiting to get the next guy signed, okay. But in a world where literally everything is going up and you are competing with everybody's disposable incomes,
mm-hmm.
you need to instill, like, if you want to call us the best fans in the QMJHL, start treating us like it. And I'm not just saying that for discounts and stuff like that for fans, but all your fans want a new coach behind the bench. We need to see it. Your season ticket holders, you've had the same season ticket deals for as long as I've been here. So 6 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
You need to upgrade that. You need to upgrade this, like holidays, theme nights, this, that. You need to get the excitement in the building, because if you had two great first halves where people are showing up around Christmas time and they're tuned into your trade deadline and they're tuned into our trade deadline show. And then the second half, done. And that's, I don't care what the name is. I just want to win next year. And I've said that a couple times to our buddy Drew Bear when he asked me about this coach or that coach or this coach or that. I don't give a shit what the name is. Just win.
Yep.
And that's where we're at. All right. Part two of the offseason, part one of our offseason look at is the groups. So we'll start with the goaltenders and the defense. We'll go into the forwards next week. We're not going to go player by player. The goaltenders, it's pretty easy with two. But Steinman and Warren, zero issue with those two coming back as our goaltenders. A 60-40 split, maybe more. Again, I think they leaned on Steinman a little bit too much down the stretch. Give a little bit more to Warren. But the fact that you have a free agent as your starter as a 20-year-old and a 14th round pick as your backup that can win games, found money by our general manager.
Yeah. No, I agree. I have no problems with these two still being the goalie tandem next year. No. I mean, some Halifax fans are saying that we should go and trade for Russo. There's no need for that. That would be...
That's just an even trade.
It's
like you're giving up assets to get the same goaltender.
And that's not, there's no point for that.
No.
I had no issues. Keegan Warren came in, I think after the, first week of the regular season.
He backed up and gave Brett, and then he went home and then he came back.
And I had zero issues with him. You know, there was games where, and the goalies, both goalies have had bad games, but it had, I don't think it, were they their, was it their fault? Yeah, of course. But at the same time, it's, I think it goes back on, you know, just the bakery being open and if there's bad goals given up, it was not on the part of the goalie. It was from a turnover, a pass from behind the net right in this lot. And those are just shots you can't stop. I mean, it takes a lot to stop a turnover, you know, when it's right in front of your net. Yeah. And so, you know, if I were to grade the goalies, I'd probably go with a B+.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Steinman last year, 21-20, he faced 1,266 shots. Mm-hmm. This year, 25-22, he faced 1,535 shots. Yeah. So his goals against average went up. That's not on him. That's the team defense in front of him.
Yeah.
There were nights where, yes, we would say, need a save. I don't care who your goaltender is. There's going to be nights for any team that you need a save sometimes because the rest of the crew in front of them doesn't have it. The problem is, or the goalie doesn't have it. The problem is more often than not, the team in front of them defensively as a whole didn't help the crew. So we get, I'm with you. I think it's B+. No point spending assets on an area that you have locked up. I think it's perfect. I don't even worry about them coming into next year. Keegan Warren's just going to get that much better and push Jacob Steinman to be that much better. Now we look at the defense and, two massive holes, and no pun intended on the bakery being open, but Boutin is a 20-year-old and Plandowski is a 20-year-old. Plandowski had a career year with 23 points. Boutin, dude covered a lot of mistakes from this core, but you got Morin, Grenier, Forte, Gendron, Zielinski, all coming back next year as your kind of your core, and you know, you kind of talked about it. Just too many defensive zone turnovers and just defensive zone lapses all year.
Yeah.
It was tough for this team. And I think it stemmed from an off year by five.
It starts there. I actually expected a lot more offense from this decor and, you know, it just didn't happen. I didn't really check to see statistically, but you have to think that Morin's points weren't on as many as they were last season.
No, he had 74 and 49, I believe. Yeah. 72 and 49.
Yeah. And I expected more from Forte Gondron didn't get it. I mean, he really picked it up towards the end there when they kind of found a spot for him on the power play.
72 and 49 for Moran back-to-back years.
So that can't happen. I mean, he's a great player. I actually expected him to become the franchise leader in points by defenseman this season.
Moran?
Yeah. I expected that to happen. If he would have had a season like he did last year, it would have happened. It's going to happen, but I actually expected it to be this season.
Yeah.
Statistically, I think I expected more from Forte Gondron, but I didn't see it until... You didn't really see his offensive game until towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Grenier, I thought, was same thing. He didn't really pick up his offensive game until... the second half, when he found a spot for him on the power play. Same thing as Forte Gondron.
Yeah.
And who was it that put him on the power play? It wasn't Dan Lacroix.
Sure wasn't.
So, I mean, Boutin and Plandowski, maybe I was hoping for a little more offense from them, but at the same time, I don't think they were brought in to be offensive defensemen. No. They were here to... help out with the loss of Hamel from the previous season. So I knew that they would be here as more focused on the defensive side. Zielinski, I know you weren't a big fan of him. I didn't mind him. I think he's someone who, you know, he's a Euro, takes time to develop. I think he's going to be a totally different player next season.
Yeah.
I think you'll see a completely different player. So that's I think that's one of your Euros, you know. He's back.
I think partner is going to matter for him.
Mm-hmm.
Depending who they bring in as a partner. I mean, playing with Boutin all year, I think Zielinski can get into that role of being a shutdown defenseman, stay-at-home defenseman. My problem was just the turnovers, and it was a defensive crew turnover. And, you know, been hard on other players there that you've known for quite a while. But I think as the year went on and as we rolled into the final year or final month and into the playoffs, and looking at the roster construction, I think Zielinski is one of the Euros that can stay. But I think what the Baie-Comeau series, the Halifax series, and now the Chicoutimi series has shown is to replace Boutin and Plandowski, go get two 19-year-olds or a 20 and a 19-year-old, and they need to be stay-at-home, punch-you-in-the-mouth defensemen. I think that's what this is. If I had to grade the group... C.
Yeah, I'm actually going C minus because I didn't like the decor at all. To say I didn't like it at all, okay, that's a bit of a, you know, liked it, but it was very underwhelming. I expected more offensively from them and didn't get it. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, we are. You know, you need offense from your back end. And just didn't get it.
Trying to see. Wish I could do the quick math here. So last year you had I need defensemen. In terms of defensemen, obviously you had Moran tied for the lead in points on the team, which is crazy. So you had statistically, which is crazy, you had more offensive upside from this team. Last year, you had Moran at 72, Plandowski 19, Marcel 18, Hamel 16, Iasenza 15, Forte Gondron 12, and Grenier 10, points-wise. This year, it's going to be weird when I go through this, but, I mean, Moran took a step back, obviously. Yep. But you had Moran at 49, you had Boutin at 37, Grenier at 36, Forte Gondron at 28, Plandowski at 23, Zielinski at 11. So statistically, they did, but it didn't seem like they did. And I don't know if it's maybe just the last month and into the playoffs.
I think it's
the recency stuff.
I think it's the just the back the drop off of of morale offensively. Yeah. You know, it's
I mean, he was a minus -9.
Yeah.
Boutin was plus +25, Grenier 11, 9 for Forge Drondron, minus -2 for Plandowski, and a plus +15 for Zielinski.
Yeah.
And I think you got to find more of a role for Hackett. I think he needs to be in lineup a little bit more than once every.
So with me, with Hackett, for me, I think, you know, every year a championship team goes out and gets, you know, that number 7 defenseman. You know, that obviously wants to play, but also doesn't mind being, you know, the guy in the stands. We saw it, you know, in COVID year.
I'm going right to it because I know
I can't remember who it is that we got.
Yeah. I knew exactly where you were going because he was the last trade that we made.
Oh, my God. He's a Maritime defenseman. Yeah. Cape Breton West.
Yeah.
I can't think.
Ryan McClellan. Yeah.
Could step in when needed, but didn't mind being a scratch. And I think we already have that guy for next year. Yep. And that's Ryan Hackett.
Yeah. Yep.
I think he will start the season, you know, as a regular guy. But, you know, he might eventually fall off the depth chart a little bit as we get you know, some more bodies in. It's maybe I'm crazy here, but I just think it's a perfect, like almost a perfect fit. And I might look dumb for saying that, but.
Well, if you're going to look dumb, I'll look dumb with you.
Well, that's it. It just, for me, like it seems he fits when he goes in. He's
tough. He's physical. Yeah. He moves the puck well.
Yeah.
I mean, he only played a handful of games this year, so obviously when you're playing a handful of games, the confidence isn't there, but he's exactly like you said. I think every time he got in there, I wasn't worried about him in the lineup.
No.
And that's when you got a player that's playing as a seventh defenseman every now and again, that's a worry, is how do you hide him? And I mean, he played 19 games and every time he went in there, I didn't have a problem. He's a plus +7 as a seventh defenseman playing 19 games. That's all you need to know. So, but we'll get into the forward group in 2 weeks. That'll be something.
Oh, boys.
But, yeah, we got, what'd you say for goaltenders? B+?
B+, yeah, and C- for the D-core.
And I took a B+ and a C into that. So that'll do it for this episode. So now we're going to update you on how this is going to go for the off season. We're going to do the... Every 2 weeks from now till the end of the year, or not the end of the year, the end of the draft. So when you look at it, you've got April 10th, the 24th, the 8th of May, the 22nd of May, and then June 5th is when we ramp this thing up. June 5th is the mock draft episode. Then we've got the, hopefully, the Maritime Roundtable, the draft, the 7th and 8th. We're not going anywhere. This is the best time of the year for this guy. If you want to get into, if you want draft coverage of not only us, but you know, the whole first round, this guy gets it dialed in. This is his year. I actually enjoy doing these just to hear you go through your picks. 'Cause I'm nowhere near where you are. I'm just like the time you put in, the fact that you're not a scout blows my mind every year. And I'm not just saying that 'cause you said you are going to come back next year. I literally mean that. So yeah, we're not going anywhere. Hopefully we've got something big coming in for the draft coverage, as it's in our backyard, so we might as well continue to take our show to the next level. But we are in the works to make something next year to make this show even bigger, to bring more access as well. It's us and Kevin Barrett.
Yep.
So but yeah, stay tuned. Every 2 weeks, we will be back. So if you're not on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. You don't want to miss any of the draft coverage. So we got off-season part 2 next week as we look at the forwards, as well as kind of, not next week, a couple weeks, see what kind of playoffs we have. Then we got the Memorial Cup coverage, as well as you get a couple scouts in here, mock draft coverage, the draft, And the season finale will go Friday, June 12th, and then we're off for some golf and some vacations.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's it for Jeremy. I'm Adam. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.